because of this voice and because you're well capable of reading, I'm going to let you read this, and we'll read just a select sections this morning while we discuss it. But I'm going to encourage you to read the whole chapter. I just won't read it to us and read it on the record like I usually do. I want you to notice verse 7. Okay. Chapter 4. I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. We have this treasure in jars of clay. Now, it probably would be more accurate for our particular group to say we have this treasure in cracked pots. But he says jars of clay, so we're going to stick with that, all right? We have this treasure in jars of clay. What I'd like you to do is tell me what the treasure is. Now, you can go, if you want to, you can go to 2 Corinthians and look back. Or you can talk about the treasure you receive from the Lord. I'm good with either right now. What treasure do you have? You have the gospel.
Freedom.
We have freedom. We have forgiveness.
Hope.
What do we have? What treasure do we have? All right, we can overcome. We're free. That'd be a good way to say it. We're free from some of the things that have been kept us down in the past. It may be free from addiction. It may be free from anxiety. It may be free from depression. We have freedom. We have hope. We have His promises. We have multiple chances. I love it. And here somebody will say we have second chances. And folks, we've gone way past second chances in this bunch. So we have to say multiple choice chances. What treasure do we have?
God on our side.
God on our side.
The love of God.
The Word of God. All those are treasures. Now, if you stayed in just 2 Corinthians, if you just stayed in 2 Corinthians, he'd talk about things like comfort. Chapter 1, for God is the God of all comfort. In chapter 2, he talked about forgiveness and forgiveness to people who don't deserve it at all. In chapter 3, he spoke about freedom and glory and life. We have a brand new life. I'll introduce the ladies. I was talking about trying to get them, introduce them to you in our next meeting. But what I didn't tell you and forgot to tell you, at 7 o'clock last night, Clarence's friend, Audie, and his wife, Audie and Amelia, confessed their faith in Jesus and were baptized. So we saw four people, brand new people, receive life, glory and freedom from the Lord. They have that treasure now in earthen vessels. But now look at verse 1. We have this treasure. We have this freedom. We have this hope. We have this love. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. When God repeats something, what does He mean? What does He mean for us to do if we repeat something? Pay attention, right? It must be some reason that He mentioned twice that since we have this treasure, since we have these blessings, since we have this love, life, glory, comfort, hope, freedom, since we have this treasure, we do not lose hope. But the truth is, the reality is, we do sometimes lose hope. I'm going to ask Michael if he'll direct that part of our time. I want us to be able to breathe out. Because there are some things that cause us to lose hope. There are some things that cause us to want to give up. I'm going to let Michael direct us that way, and then we'll study. Thanks, Michael. One of the treasures, I don't know that anybody said it. One of the treasures we have is this place, a place where you can be honest about those kind of things. Richard, how many times did you want to give up trying to finish out your EMT stuff?
6 or 7 times.
Yeah. How many years have you been working on it?
4 to 6 years.
Lots of time you could have given up. You didn't. You did not lose heart. Whether it's rolling rugs and people not recognizing your worth at a particular job or a boss not being honest or fair with you. What's John been doing every day in spite of that? Been going to work. Been taking care of his business. Michael and Brittany's heartache goes beyond what I'm able to understand and comprehend. I don't have that experience, so I can't say in any way I understand. But where are they every Sunday? Where are they every Wednesday? And I'm not talking about being at church. Where are they? They are surrounded. They are baptized in kids. They are changing lives. You can see it. You see what God's doing. We will not lose heart. We do not lose heart. God says it twice as if to make sure we understood. This is not our choice. We're not going to lose heart. We are not going to lose heart because we have a treasure. We have a treasure. Now, I didn't let you peek at it last time when we talked about it, but I want you to look in chapter 4. I want you to look at verse 5 and 6. There's the treasure he's talking about in this verse. In this section, here's the treasure. All the things you said earlier, hope, ministry, love, forgiveness, comfort, all those things are right. All those shoved into this. But he says, we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as servant for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, look at the phrase, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. What did God do for you? He may not have given me that job. He may not have blessed me with children. He may not have seen me through the family difficulty. He may not have done this. He may not have done that. But what did he do for me? From the text, what did he do for me? He made his light shine in my heart and gave me the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Now, do I wish I was taller? Do I wish I was smarter? Do I wish I was richer? Do I wish I, just to fill in the blank. Do you wish you had a different kind of job? Do you wish you had a different kind of family? Do you wish you had a different kind of prospect for the future? Yes, 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 yes. But what do you have? I'm going to make you say it one more time. What do you have? You have the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in shining in your heart. That's our treasures. That's who we are. That's what we have. So I don't get what I want as far as a job. I don't get what I want as far as my prayers. I don't get what I want as far as my retirement plans. I don't get what I want as far as family. What do I have? I'm going to make you say it again. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. I've got that. So what do you think about that? Is that enough? Yeah, until I get dissatisfied, until I get irritated, until I get frustrated. Now that's enough, isn't it? And there's the problem, y'all. If you want to call it a problem, there's the problem. Because we have this treasure where? In jars of clay. Now what's the point there? Here's this wonderful treasure, light, glory, grace, all of that treasure in a clay pot. What's the picture? What? It's fragile. Got to be careful with it. I've got this treasure in pots of clay. What's the thought? It can break. It can leak. Someone can take it. Yeah. And that there's a point. He made us jars of clay. Now we may want to be Superman. We may want to be man and woman of steel. We may want to be able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. We may want to be able to do all those things. Guess what? Guess what? I can't. I'm going to just be what He made me to be, and He made me a cracked pot. He made me a jar of clay. Why? Look at the point. What did He tell me? Why did He make me? Why did He put this treasure in a pot of clay? Why did He give me such a wondrous, eternal, glorious gift and put it in me? Why did He do it to me? To show this all-surpassing power is from God. So if anything good is happening, if anything good is ever to happen, who's going to get the credit? So what can I expect in my life? Keep reading. We are hard-pressed on every side. Now let's just read what happened to us. We're perplexed. We are persecuted. We are struck down. Does it surprise us when we are? Don't give me the church answer. Does it surprise us when those things happen to us? Yeah, because we think we bought into the lie somewhere that says if I give my life to Jesus, if I'm walking with the Lord, then things are just going to be better. Things are going to be good. I mean, I'm going to get promotions I want. My bills are going to get paid. My health is going to be good. My voice is going to change. I mean, we go to thinking everything's going to be wonderful. Guess what happens when you are a jar of clay? Just look at the life of Jesus. Was He ever hard-pressed? Was He ever perplexed? Was He ever persecuted? Was He ever struck down? Yes, yes, yes. Same thing's going to happen to us, y'all. So note it. It's going to happen to us. But because God made us, exactly the point Raymond's saying, because God made us and made us who we are, that He made these clay pots and put that treasure in us while we're hard-pressed on every side, we will not be, look what He says, we'll not be crushed. That word crushed there is bruised. We will not be damaged. We will be perplexed, but not in despair. We will be persecuted, but not abandoned. Will be struck down, but not destroyed. In this room, we've done a lot of talk about the bad things that have happened, the tough things that have happened. Where does the pressing come from? Where does the perplexity come from? Where does the persecution come from? Where does the blow that strikes you down come from? Sometimes it comes from your family. from the very people you believe are closest to you. Where else does it come from? He comes from my own self. It comes from my own failings. It comes from my own lusts and passions that war against my soul. And sometimes it comes from circumstances in life that you and I have no control over at all. No control over at all. I had nothing to do with so many of the things that have happened in your life. Things happened in my life I had some things to do with. But you had nothing to do with some of the things that have happened in your life. So sometimes it just happens because you live in a world where those kind of things happen. Is it possible that sometimes those happen because of God? Yes, because God's disciplining, God's loving, God's trying to train you, God's trying to help you. So what I've got to remember is not, why is this happening? I'm going to say it again in case somebody wasn't listening. It's not about why this is happening. It's about who is going to overcome it no matter what's happening. The all-surpassing power is of God. It's not in this crack pot.
We spin our wheels an awful lot trying to figure out why. One thing I've learned in my 60-plus years on this earth is that why is usually the unanswerable question. Because God's ways are so far above me, sometimes I can look back and understand some things, and it's not even as clear as the little fuzzy piece of shiny metal they used to look at as a mirror. It's not even that clear. But I can kind of see maybe, but, when we learn to leave that stuff to God, but He's going to take care of it. He's got His purpose that we're probably never going to understand clearly in this life.
I wish we were having this conversation in my office, face to face, and talking specifically about the things that are pressing on you, the things that are perplexing you, the things that are persecuting you, or the things that are striking you down. Because the answer is this. Remember not to lose heart, because the all-surpassing greatness of the power of God. And look at the next phrase. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our bodies. We don't lose heart. We don't give up. We don't give in. We don't quit. We don't surrender. We don't despair because that's how people see the life of Jesus in me. When you're going through tough times, I'm telling you, when you're going through tough times and you hold on to the Lord, you trust in the power of God, and you put yourself in a place to reveal the purpose of God, somebody will look, somebody will notice, somebody will ask, how are you able to do that? How'd you get through all that? What in the world, what made you that way? What do you have in your life that I don't have in mine? And what do we have in our life that they don't have in theirs? We have Jesus. We have the light of the knowledge of God in the face of Christ. We have this treasure. We have, keep reading, for we who are alive have always been given over to death for Jesus' sake, that His life may be revealed in our mortal bodies. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. We have His light, but we also reveal His life. So we reveal His life, not when everything's going good. We reveal His life and His light when we're making it through the tough times, the pressures, the perplexities, the persecutions, the down times, that's when we show the life of Jesus. And because we have that kind of confidence, it says we're going to speak. With the same spirit of faith, we also believe, therefore we speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead, now folks, you got to hear this, you got to read it, make sure you know that I'm not making it up and can't understand what I'm saying anyway. Look at verse 14. The one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in His presence. What's the absolute worst thing? What is the absolute worst thing that could happen to you in this life? The absolute worst thing that could happen to you in this life. Whatever it is, whatever you would count it to be, something happening to your health, something happening to your family, something happening with your probation, something happening with your children, whatever is the worst thing that could possibly happen, the God who raised Jesus can do what with us? Raise us up with Him and present us with Him in His presence. Is there any need to give up? Any need to give in? Any need to lose heart? No, we have a treasure. We have the light of God shining in us in the face of Christ. We have got it in a vessel made by God that is built just for this moment to reveal the power of God and to see Jesus' life in us. And if something bad, horrible, no good, terrible thing happens to us, He'll just raise us from the dead too, just like He did Jesus. And all of this, verse 15, is for your benefit. Oh, circle the word. Circle the word benefit. We're big deal on benefits. Take a job because it's got benefits. We'll even ask sometimes, well, what's in it for me? What's the benefit? Here's a benefit. That the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Have you seen it here? That we make a little bitty illustration, just a little bitty illustration here. Have we seen it here? Have we seen people whose lives have been rescued and seen them come out of that horrible situation and begin to thank God? And then we've seen them continue to thank God. And so much so that they attract others to come and others to be rescued and others to thank God. We keep letting the treasure shine out of us. We don't give in because of the pressures and the perplexities and the despair. We don't give up. We don't give in because God's power is going to make it possible for people to see the life of Jesus. He's going to raise us from the dead, and that's just going to cause more and more and more people to thank God. To overflow to the glory of God. I remember a day when there was three folks meeting in my home and we were talking this way. We were doing things this way. I remember when we met the very first time and there was 21, 22 of us, depending on whether you counted me or not. I remember when we got to the place where we couldn't fit in this room for one whole meeting, so we went to two different meetings. And I keep watching people come over and confess their faith, be baptized, to be raised to a new life. I watched that happen, and I watched them thanking God, and I watched them inviting their friends, their neighbors to come, and they're thanking God. Folks, you know how that happened? How'd that happen? The power of Jesus, the light of Jesus, the life of Jesus, however way you want to say it. He put a treasure in an earthen vessel. And people saw if God can do that for him, he can do that for me. If God can do that for her, he can do that for me. So what do we do? Verse 16, let's draw the conclusion. What do we do because of this treasure? What do we do because of this power? What do we do because of this confidence? What do we do? We do not lose heart. And here's how. though outwardly we are wasting away, and for some of us that's showing a little bit more than others, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Got to tell you, I'm an example of nothing. I'm an example of nothing except what not to do. But a guy told me yesterday, he said, Rex, when's the last time you took a vacation? I said, I don't want a vacation. He said, really? I said, I love what I do so much, I can't stand the thought of being away from it. Man, I got people to teach. I got people to baptize. I can't go on a cruise. I don't want to go on a cruise. Please don't send me on a cruise. Unless they let me baptize in the pool, then okay. But and he says, well, but you need to take some time for yourself. I took some time for myself. I took some time for myself and wrecked my life. Guess what? Got no interest in taking any more time for myself. I want to squeeze the last ounce of bit of life out of me, renewed day by day. I don't wake up tired. I don't wake up frustrated. I don't wake up weary. I wake up every morning thinking, ooh, what's going to happen? I'm serious. I wake every morning thinking, what's going to happen today? Who am I going to get to teach today? What question am I going to get today? So our light and momentary troubles, underline it, our light and momentary troubles. I hate it. I hate what some of you have gone through. But honestly, they are just light and momentary troubles when they're compared with the eternal glory that is yours. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us. What does achieving mean? It's gaining. It's helping us. It's benefiting us. So those things that have fretted you, those things that have frustrated you, those things that have perplexed you, those things that have pressed you are doing what? They're achieving for you an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. But would I spare you? Yeah, if it was me, I'd spare you. I'd promote John in a heartbeat. And I'd do things, if I was in charge, that's why they don't let me be in charge. But what's God doing through these troubles? What's God doing through these troubles? Achieving an eternal glory that outweighs them all. So what do we do? So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. One more time. We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. I've got a treasure from God in this earthen vessel, this clay pot. I've got the surpassing power of God demonstrated in my life. Because when I'm pressed, I don't get crushed. When I get struck down, I am not destroyed. I have a purpose for God to show the life of Jesus, even in the death of this mortal body. I can show the life of Jesus. And I have got an eternal weight of glory that waits for me. So what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Am I going to give up? Am I going to give in? Nah. I'm going to fix my eyes. There you go. Fix my eyes on what is unseen. I'm going to fix my eyes on what is where there is glory. That's what keeps me going. That's what will keep us going. We do not lose heart. We have a treasure that far outweighs them all.